time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It's Monday, February 18th, 2019. How are things going for you? The year's off to a roaring start for us, and it is growing like I've never seen anything before. See a lot of activity going on, mergers and acquisitions. There is a lot of consolidation. You look at the big news on Ellie Mae last week. I'll be at the chairman's conference, and I get to sit there and listen to Sig and Jonathan tell us a story about all that's going on, hoping to catch a podcast tonight. I know they can't talk a lot about it, but it was interesting to see that announcement. I think it's just the beginning of so much more, folks, of what's going to happen in 2019. Going to be a significant year. That's why you need to be staying tuned to this podcast. Want to be in the know? Be here each and every week. I'm excited about today's podcast. We've got one of our regulars on the podcast, Scott Gordon, the Science of Sales, the Mr. Science of Sales, who will be joining us in the Hot Topic segment, talking about an exciting new product that he has created. He's more Mr. Technology than he is mortgage banker. He's a good mortgage banker, but he has created something with a piece of technology that should get everyone's attention. I think we're very excited about having him here and to talk about that. I'll also talk a little bit about the Science of Sales. That'll be good. Scott and I have been together skiing up in Big Sky, Montana. And we were up there the last 4 days, 2 days of crazy fun skiing. What a lot of fun. So we're up there, and it's like, you know, it's like 0 or 3 degrees. And we looked down here in Austin, Texas. It was 87 degrees. Came back to it. So that's the nice thing. You fly up there and then you come back to it. So anyway, we're glad to have you all with us today. That's a little text in there, all y'all. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And we're, of course, grateful to have you as our listeners. You know, we won some awards, and that's all cool. But our best reward that we can get is having our faithful listeners here each week. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere, even on the ski slopes. So anyway, let's see here. We're so thrilled to be a part of the Industry Syndicate. You can check out the Industry Syndicate at industrysyndicate.com. This is a new podcast syndication that is spanning across all the various categories of the real estate industry, including the mortgage space and the real estate space. You want to go check out some great podcasts out there. We're thrilled to be a part of the Syndicate and I encourage you to check it out, syndicate.com. On today's show, we have the professor of sales with us, Scott Gordon, CEO of Open Mortgage. I already talked a little bit about that, and there's some new game-changing technology he's going to be releasing to us. So stay tuned all the way through the podcast to the Hot Topic segment. Before we get started, I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. We're really proud to have our affiliation and partnership with them. We're going to hear from Rob Van Raphorst in just a minute, as well as Black Knight, the leading provider of integrated software and data analytics solutions. And guess what? Mr. Open Mortgage himself is here with us, but we got to say there, Open Mortgage is the leading buyer of reverse mortgages and soon to be announced on this program in just about 20, 30 minutes. Smart Reverse, the way you can do smart reverse mortgages a lot faster in a smart way, and the home of some top LOs in the industry. So if you're looking for a good home, get a hold of openmortgage.com. Of course, our newest sponsor is back. It's actually like bringing him back. You know, they go away like kids every once in a while, but they come back because this is a great place to advertise. We're thrilled to have Finastra back as an advertiser. Finastra's Fusion Mortgage Bot solution automatically addresses compliance issues while delivering enhanced borrower satisfaction and increased productivity. And greater market share. That's something we all could use a little bit more of. Most lenders are needing more market share. So check out Finastra, F-I-N-A-S-T-R-A, and Fusion Mortgage Bot product. We're also part of the Lenders One Co-op, as well as the Mortgage Collaborative. Now, the Mortgage Collaborative is here in Austin this week. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow will be going on. So if you're at the JW Marriott, you want to come on down, we'd love to look forward to seeing you there. And then the Lenders Ones will be in the same place, along with a bunch of conferences this year. Great place, time to be living in Austin, Texas. Save some conference hotel costs, because there are going to be a lot of them here. The MBA, Mortgage Collaborative starts it off, then Lenders One, and then we have the annual here and a couple others. So be sure to check out both these collaboratives. Great place to network and meet other lenders and vendors. Some of the leading lenders and vendors are a part of both of these co-ops, and we're thrilled to be a part of it as well. Then we have Velma, efficient mortgage marketing and email platform. Brent Emler and the team do a great job, as well as our good friend Ken Perry and Nathan at Knowledge Coop, providing easy and fun training for mortgage lenders. And Vidyard, how are you getting your message out? Do you know the power of video and online video is so amazing? They have an online video platform for business, which allows you to increase leads, accelerate your pipeline, and best of all, delight your customers, get some stickiness to them. And then I want to say a special thank you, Alice, Andy, Alan, Joe, for their contributions each week to this podcast. And thank you for listening in. Now let's run over to listen to the MBA Mortgage Minute with Rob Van Raphorst. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, congressional leaders finalized a spending bill. It included a revised funding mix for border security and 9 cabinet departments and dozens of other agencies, including HUD, through September 30th. President Trump signed the legislation, which removes the immediate threat of another government shutdown. Also last week, the Senate Banking Committee held a hearing to consider the nomination of Mark Calabria for FHFA director. Throughout the hearing, Calabria reaffirmed his commitment to follow the statutory authority of FHFA, the importance of the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, and that Congress plays the fundamental role in any GSE reform. And finally, application activity fell last week, with the average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage falling to 4.65%. Despite the recent decline in applications, MBA still expects that the continued strength of the job market and lower rates will support more purchase activity in the coming months. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, that's good news. Increased purchase activity. I think you guys could use a little of that. All right, our clients are all looking for more purchase activity. How can you do it? Man, so anyway, do you know that you could use a reverse mortgage to buy a home? Ha-ha, that's a little teaser for the Hot Topic segment. Hey, if you're handing out that old paper business card, man, you've got to check out the digital business card. You can see it on the website, the Lincoln on Lending website. Go to LincolnOnLending.com, and you'll see it. You know what? Several people say, Dave, do you really not hand out any business cards? Yeah, for the most part, I'm really not handing out much in the way of business cards. What I'm handing out, if I do hand out a business card, is got a QR code on the back so you can scan that and get the digital. So if you're kind of like going, I'm just afraid to leave the business card all the way out there, that paper card I'm so close to and fond of for the last, you know, 4 centuries or whatever long it's been around. But if you're afraid to give up the card, just use the QR code that you get with this digital business card, and you tell them, hey, flip the card over, scan that QR code, and bring in all the videos and all of that kind of good stuff. I think about some of you, especially our guests, like Andy Schell, that's on here with all the data he has. He should be using the digital business card. So we'll get his take on that later. Let's get over to Les Parker and hear what the T has with the TM Spotlight and this week's macro view of the markets. Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by LoanLogic. This growth has taken its toll. On trades, it said goodbye too many times before. Is growth here to stay, or is it saying goodbye again? How does the market watch the oscillating growth in the U.S. economy? If it's not outright strength, at least it's strong relative to the other advanced economies. No economy has strong growth and high inflation, so rates stay low. Consider that Italy, Germany, China, and South Korea, 4 of the world's largest exporter nations, have manufacturing sectors contracting. Low growth is breaking again for trades. Longs have no choice, because they can't say goodbye anymore. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Yeah. So, Alice, I got to ask you, were you boogieing to that music like I just was? I love that. You and I both are loving music. Andy's loving it. I can hear Andy thumping it out on his drums. Because he's the drummer, and you're such a good musician yourself. But isn't that a cool song? Love it. Love it, love it, love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it is fun to hear the stuff that Les picks up.
He fits it in. And how he fits it in there is nothing less than amazing to me. And he does it like at 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. It's crazy, Alan. Let's get over to Joe Farr. What you got, friend?
Last week was a good week for stocks. Now, why am I talking about stocks? Well, much of the time, what's good for stocks is not good for mortgage rates. But last week, the Dow rose over 800 points. It was driven by optimism over, not over, but almost 800 points, driven by optimism over the trade negotiations with China and the fact that another government shutdown was avoided on Friday. But it was nice to see that last week, mortgage rates didn't react too negatively for such a nice week for stocks. Rates only moved a couple basis points higher during the week. So the economic data that came out last week, results came out, showed a record number of job openings, which was good. Core CPI showed a little higher than expected annualized rate of inflation, which was not good for mortgage rates. It wasn't worse than what was expected to be a real market mover, though. December retail sales were much lower than expected, but you know that's disappointing. As was industrial production for January. Consumer sentiment, though, was better than expected, and likely an improving stock market. The end to the government shutdown helped consumers feel a little better. It was interesting to see, Dave, year-to-date stocks are up over 10%, while mortgage rates are down a little bit.
We can thank the Fed for that. They've come out with
you know, talk of an easier monetary policy than what they had been talking about toward the end of 2018. So best of both worlds there.
Yep.
Looking at the week ahead, this week, we have the National Association of Home Builders.
Say that real fast. Yeah.
It
is the home builders. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm tired. But the National Association of Home Builders Index is coming out. What are they projecting?
That's good. They're expecting a small improvement over January. Now, we'll see how that works out. And then on Thursday, the existing home sales is expected to be a little better. But that's better than a bad December. So it's still well below what it had been running for most of 2018. The minutes come out on Wednesday. They're coming out from the January 30th Fed meeting. They'll be released at 2 o'clock Eastern time. Now, in the past, we saw the minutes create some reaction in the marketplace and hadn't seen that in the last couple releases. And, you know, maybe it's the fact that so many speakers are coming out. Maybe it's the fact that now the Jerome Powell's doing a conference after the Fed meetings. But they'll come out at 2 o'clock Eastern time on Wednesday, so it might still be a good time to be paying attention. And then following that on Friday, there is a whole host of Fed speakers that could interject some, you know, additional information about what the Fed's thoughts are. So that's my report, Dave.
Good deal. So you did so well. So I like that report. Anyway, that's my report. That's my to do a little Les Parker music invitation in there. Okay. Like someone just texted, go on with the program, Dave. Don't keep doing this. Anyway, it's so good to have you with us, everybody. Thanks, Joe, for that update. Sure. It's going to be interesting. Appreciate you being here with us each and every week, Joe. Thank you so much. See you in Austin here this week at the TMC conference. Can't you come down and join me there for a little bit? But anyway, before we go to Alice Alvey with her legislative update, let's listen to our hot topic guest on a pre-recorded message talk about the science of sales.
What's your story? We live in the information age. Anything you wish to know is just a Google search away. Information, however, is not knowledge and does not lead to understanding. Stories are what lead us to understanding and make sense of a chaotic world. To many of our customers and partners, the mortgage process is chaos. Agents, FSBOs, titles, closing, credit scores, debt-to-income ratios, appraisals, and inspections. Ever have a confused customer barrage you with questions? Answer a question only to have another and another thrown your way? Your customer is looking at the pieces, not the whole picture. This is your opportunity to tell a story. Storytelling increases information retention and understanding up to 70%, as opposed to a 5 to 10% retention from facts and information not woven together into the form of a story. In the coming messages, I'll be giving you the essential elements you need in order to craft the best stories for your customers and for you. If this sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
That market department is excellent. He's got Zeb out there. So he's crazy. That guy's crazy. I love that guy. And then also you've got Clay, who just does an awesome job of bringing that all together. I love talent like that. Alice, good to have you with us. Speaking of talent, you've got such great music talent and training talent. Alice is the CMB, Master CMB, Vice President of Education, Training for Union Home Mortgage, also known as Bill Cosgrove Mortgage, and with a legislative update. What you have for us today, Alice?
Well, I've got a few reminders for everybody. It was funny. So as Scott's talking about telling a story, I'm like, okay, once upon a time, there was an old 1003, and it got so old that it wasn't collecting the right data anymore. So Fannie and Freddie and HUD and VA got together and created a new 1003 that we all have to start to figure out how to use February 1st of 2020, and the software companies aren't going to have it available until mid-July. So this is an interesting story. It's still unfolding. And I'm telling you, you know, when we sit back, obviously Fannie and Freddie have had quite a bit of information out available on their websites, you know, but everyone needs to keep in mind, my reminders for today are this. It is a new data set. There are new ways that questions will need to be framed by the sales team. And then, of course, because it is an entirely new data set, so the screens are completely different. It does not look the same today. I think the major design change everyone should think about is it's designed for the consumer. So, for example, in the employment section, in fine print, it lists all the possible types of income that they may be able to enter there. And same with assets, all the types of assets. There's a new dedicated section for gifts and grants so that all this information is clear for the consumer. And then there's a new page 5. That ends up being for the lender information, and the loan information is all now consolidated in one section. So when you look at your organization and all the new muscle memory everyone has to get with completely rethinking, you know, how they interview, right? If you think of the traditional loan officer's uses form for, you know, their entire career, and now they have to, they'll have screens in different orders. And then you think of all the connectivity with all the fields you have. Some people compare this to TRID. I don't to the industry. I think it's just disruptive to our habits and how we just do things day to day. I don't think the customer's going to feel a thing. They're going to be like, okay, you know, why are you stuttering while you're trying to take my loan application?
So funny.
The field. So I think that's our job as an industry. Just a heads up. So there are some information out for Fannie and Freddie. The timelines are not going to move. So February 1st of 2020, you need to be able to have these applications in this data set. Anything that may have been taken before that, you'll have a year to clean that out of your pipeline. So that's just a heads up that we are all in the early planning stages for backing into that timeline. HMDA reports are coming up due, so just a reminder for those of you who are still trying to figure that out. February 15th, last Friday, was our first day with the new VA cash-out rules, and it seemed like some lenders were still out there discovering things in the 11th hour, and hopefully you've all got that worked out with your one-day breather today if you're not open. As far as legislative news, the bills that I talked about last week's show, so you can go back, listen to that recording, there haven't been any movements this week. So we're still going to watch those closely. There is a new bill. You know, the manufactured housing industry always tries to get out there to give themselves a little bit of a leg up. So there's a new attempt to reform HUD's rules on manufactured housing, House Bill 926. Again, not a big prognosis, but it made it to our list for this week. So one of the main ones I think last week that I mentioned was H.R. 149, Housing Fairness Act of 2019. This is the one where they want to authorize third parties to conduct the audits over the lending industry related to fair lending.
Oh, that just gave me chills. Chills when you said that last week. I was like, I had nightmares after that report. It's the only time you've ever given me nightmares, Alice, is when you reported that one. I just like, that one was scary.
Isn't it? Yeah, and I'm sure Andy has a few thoughts on that too, because we've all, you know, we all conduct audits or have in our life, and that sounds very scary to have someone who only has 2 years' experience making a determination on whether you're a fair lender or not.
Andy's used to that. That's called a bank regulator.
<I know.
laughs> That's right. You know, anyone who's been in banking, regulated industry, they're used to the 28 that just graduated from graduate school coming through and regulating and telling you how to run your business. Yep, that's the only maybe it isn't going to be quite
true.
As bad.
Yep, sat there. Yep, and now you're telling them, you know, hey, go look over here. That's where that is.
That's so funny.
So that's my report for today, Dave. Those are
the items
going on here in the dead of winter in the Midwest.
And you can listen to more reports of Alice by going to our website, Lickin' on Lending. Download that. She referenced it. I have so many people saying, I'm so glad you put that in there. Get everybody's download just of their segments and just all stacked up. So it's a great place to go to get all that information. Alice, it's so much fun to have you guys here. The whole original crew. So we're all still together. The band is still together. So it's so much fun. Appreciate you. Maybe it was a lack of sleep, Alice, that I didn't get last night. I'm seriously sleep deprived. That is true. Maybe that's why it's
that
a little wacko today. Yeah, maybe that's what's going on. Anyway, Beth was telling me, the president of TMS was telling me, she says, Dave, you were off your game last week, so I'm trying to get my game back. Anyway, we're back. Let's take a quick break and hear about more training. Alice is the one that does it live with her company. But some companies don't have the ability to hire someone like Alice, so they really need to create their own internal training systems. And if you're looking for a solution to do just that, Knowledge Group is the solution. They are powered by the Smart Digital Platform.
Hi, Nathan here from the Knowledge Group. How are you at storytelling? You may have seen the J.J. Abrams TED Talk about this mystery box that he got. He tells a story of his grandfather giving him a gift, but he decided, for some reason, to never open it. To this day, it remains a mystery to him as to what's inside that box. When you are teaching your courses, how can you incorporate great storytelling and a mystery box into the lesson? See, that's what we strive to do here at the Knowledge Coop. So check out KnowledgeCoop.com for fun and easy training for the mortgage professionals, all video-based and all powered by a smart digital platform.
Good job, Nathan. That's good. Hooked me with that story. I tell you, the power story. The professor of sales, Scott Gordon, is gotten us all got going on that. So we've been encouraging them, our friends at Knowledge Coop, to tell more stories. And, man, that was a good one. I like it. Hooks you, doesn't it? Anyway, thanks, Nathan. Appreciate it. Get to learn more, go to KnowledgeCoop.com. That's Knowledge, KnowledgeCoop.com. Alan Pollock is here with our weekly tech report. Alan, what do you have for us this week?
Happy Monday, my friend. As you would say, TGIM. Lots of great stuff going on this week. First, I know that the TMC conference kicked off yesterday, so it is happening right now. For those of you that are there, I hope it's a productive conference. Looking forward to hearing after the conference all the great news and things that came out of that. The big news, as we all know, is Thoma Bravo has acquired or purchased Ellie Mae, a private equity firm. We know them because they're involved with MeridianLink, LendingQB, Kofax, and Highland. They've agreed to pay $99 a share cash for Ellie Mae, representing a 21% premium or $3.7 billion valuation. You know, I thought this was interesting. Ellie Mae has 2,300 plus lenders, and they also have about 250,000 users strong. Now, the number is not surprising, but the amount of influence and technology that they put in front of these users is really what interests me even more. So I think a lot of people are thinking, what will happen from this purchase? I think really nothing will happen. Ellie Mae will continue to focus on their technology. I think they'll have less restriction from being a public company. And I even read somewhere online that Ellie Mae could get into fintech. So we'll see what happens, but interesting news to say the least. So moving on, I know a lot of us have talked about the home equity market, and Blend has put a press release out talking about a new technology solution, which is set to reduce and streamline the time it takes to apply, become approved, and close that home equity loan. They've actually put a test out there already. They say it's about a 50% reduction in turn time and shaving off as much as 19 days from the transaction. Also, searching around the internet, I found a company I thought that was kind of cool. It's called Eligible.ai. They call it easy customer retention built for mortgages. They talk about the mortgage broker, and they talked about how they have a retain engine that provides an individual individualized digital journey for your client and a custom retention application for you. They talk about delivering a behavior-based engagement to nurture and retain all of your clients, have better informed conversations with your clients, and don't be forgotten. I thought this was kind of interesting because a term that we seem to hear a lot right now is called behavioral-based data. And so this looks like they have some type of data aggregation. I don't know much about it just yet. You want to check it out if you're interested, eligible.ai. And then even more important, I thought this was great. Optimal Blue has released what they call the OBMMI, and they say it's daily insight into the mortgage transactions, about 30% of all the transactions that go through their platform. There's about 16 different indices they've created. They compare locked rates by actual loans with national average rates, and what they do is they say it's comprehensive, it's accurate, it's timely, and it's really an important milestone in their future. And I couldn't agree more. I think that the data they have, they're sitting on years and years, more than 10 years of data. And if you think about being able to model this data, back to the comment before about behavioral trends, there's a lot that could be done with the data. So as Optimal Blue continues to evolve what they call their digital mortgage experience, and the folks that they interact with look to do more power workflow, predictively look at decisions, use machine learning, I think this data will come in handy. So we'll see what happens over there. Mortgage Coach. A lot of people follow Mortgage Coach. They've got what you call the TCA. It is the total cost analysis. I thought what was kind of interesting is they connected. They just announced an integration with SimpleNexus. And what I found even more interesting is SimpleNexus has 200 plus clients and about 20,000 LOs on the platform. And so this new integrations partnership will provide the TCA to those SimpleNexus users as they go through their mobile app and that origination process. And swinging it back over to that comment I said earlier about Ellie Mae and possibly getting into fintech, one of the comments I heard about not having the restriction of shareholders and being able to evolve and disrupt the industry. I found an article on CNBC about small banks you've never heard of are quietly enabling the tech takeover of the financial industry. As you know, there's a lot of conversation around the fintech companies trying to get a banking charter to become actual financial institutions, and there's just a lot of conversation around it in general. Well, this was an interesting take. Based on a lot of the new investments and even the mergers, if you look at BB&T and SunTrust, that $66 billion merger, which will make them the sixth biggest bank in the U.S. by asset size, these smaller community banks are having trouble or are looking to find ways to fast forward their investment in tech and being able to get to the market and offer their customers the same type of experience. So what this article talks about is how these banks, there's about a dozen of them, maybe you've heard of them, Cross River Bank, Sutton Bank, Celtic Bank, Evolve, and what they're doing is they're supporting the financial side of the transaction, the banking side, and they're letting the fintech companies that they partner with handle the technology side, and they're putting together this network that allows them to get to market much quicker and to use the power of many to make this happen. Very similar to a collaborative. I wouldn't say it's similar to AIM like we have in the industry today, but it is similar in a way to how they're going to look to leverage a single platform. So there's more to come there. It's a very interesting article. If you want to check it out, head over to CNBC. We'll post a link. And outside of that, a topic that I wanted to talk about, but we'll bring to next week, is the conversation of build versus buy. Great to be here, David. Thanks for having me. Have a great week, everyone. Talk to you next week.
I encourage you to reach out and get a hold of Alan. You will not be disappointed. That guy is a wealth of information. Andy, so good to have you here with us, friend.
Dave,
appreciate you.
Thank you very much. Great to be on the show. Twice today already on the show, we've talked about the science of sales. And we already talked about just now about what do we do when a 23-year-old examiner is going to be evaluating our fair lending. And so those two points might seem disjointed, but they're really not. And also, this isn't what I was going to talk about today. But I just wanted to point out that it comes back to communication. The science of sales is just a method of finding alignment with others and getting them to listen. And so it's really about having the ability to effectively communicate with others. And if you listen to Dave, and I actually learned a lot of this, I enhanced my ability in working with Dave for so many years. It's about tonality. It's about tone. It's about pacing. It's about going fast, going slow, and then slowing down. And just by changing the timbre, pacing, tone of your voice, you can actually increase the likelihood of being heard. So I haven't heard Scott do a video on that yet. Maybe he'll cover that one of these days soon. But that's part of it, too. Effective communication has bazillions of tactics, and Licken's really good at it. And so when you're talking to the examiner, we want to find alignment and say, you know, I appreciate you guys being here because it's really important that we follow the regs. We take those very seriously, and we've implemented this and this and this and this and this and this and this to make sure we've done that. In fact, we check it twice, and then we actually have someone else check it a third time just to make sure it's right. But that wasn't what I wanted to talk about. So, Dave, today what I want to talk about was resources.
Thanks for those kind words, by the way.
Oh, well, my pleasure, of course. I know you so well. I wanted to talk about resources, capabilities, and
core competencies. Wait a minute. I forgot. I got this weird thing coming all over. Guess what time it is, Alice? Joe, do you know what tomorrow is? Do you know what tomorrow is? Alice, Joe?
February the 19th.
It's Andy's birthday. It's Andy's birthday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Happy birthday to you, Prophet Doctor. Here you go.
Happy
all right,
birthday.
It's your turn. Happy birthday.
Thanks, Dave. And despite that effort, Dave actually is an amazing singer. So thank you, Dave. I appreciate the sentiment very much. Yes, I am. I am even older tomorrow.
Well, we didn't mention how old. We just we just mentioned that you're having your birthday. So.
Yeah, so I've gotten to the point where I don't say it anymore. I just say, hey, look at this picture. See, don't I look like I'm 39?
Yeah.
Resources. We want to save lots of time to hear Scott Gordon talk, The Flash, because he's got. I really appreciate Scott's combining science and sales and process orientation and outcome and understanding the academic side to create the practical reality, which is that's the world I live in. I live in the world of academia and practical reality and how to merge those together in effective means, which is part of what I'm talking about today, because in the world of academia, there's very few things that people haven't already researched. And when we talk about identifying how to be successful, or we identify what's important when you look at an acquisition target, and when we talk about how do you make an acquisition most effective, this stuff's been examined for years, hundreds of years, since it's been going on. And then and academics go in and they test all kinds of different things. So there's tons of stuff you can learn. The problem is academics write so you can't understand what they're talking about, which is part of what my degree is, because I have my doctorate is kind of basically on taking academic research and converting it into English so people can actually do something about it. But anyway, they talk about resources, capabilities, and core competencies. And core competencies are the things that make it so that you're special. It's the thing that makes it so that your business has a leg up on your competitor, just like Scott's new software he's going to talk about today. And so these things are really well defined. And one of the things that's really important about resources can be tangible and intangible. Intangible resources are things like knowledge and brand, and those are the things that are really hard for competitors to copy, because if you believe that one of your resources is a warehouse line, you believe that gives you a special capability. Well, not really, because anybody else can get the same warehouse line, but it's the other stuff. And so what academics have done is they said, okay, what is it about capabilities that a company has to make loans or hire people or have people that smile while they take an application or sing while they take an application or appreciate the science of selling as they're taking an application. So what is it about that stuff that makes it be really a competitive advantage? And so academics came up with four tests, and I'm going to talk about them a little bit today. I'll talk about them more in the future. But academics have done these studies, and they said when you take a capability and it is considered to be valuable, rare, difficult, or costly to imitate, and not substitutable, there's not something else you can use, those four things, the VRIN, it's called, VRIN, V-R-I-N, valuable, rare, costly to imitate,
valuable,
and non-substitutable. When you have a capability that is all those four things, then that leads to a competitive advantage. When you're doing an acquisition, when you identify the elements of the company that's acquired that brings value to you, it will be those things, the things that add value, because the item is valuable or rare or costly to imitate or non-substitutable. You can't find another one like it easily. And so from a customer's perspective, we like things that are valuable to us, things that bring us, well, every time a customer makes a purchasing decision, they are considering consumer utility, and they're thinking, okay, how is this good for me, and is it better than my option, my other options? So that's valuable. Also, consumers look at non-substitutable because they go, well, if I can buy it at Nordstrom's for $150, and I can buy the exact same thing at Walmart for $75, why would I buy it at Nordstrom's? Well, there's actually reasons why people do that, because that's part of the consumer utility, feeling safe, feeling comforted, feeling heard. That's where the science of selling is so important, because when people feel like they're heard, they're more likely to continue with a transaction, because that brings part of a unique or design element that is a competitive advantage. So anyway, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to talk more about this over the next couple of weeks as we really kind of go deeper into what are these things and how do they apply to mortgage, because fundamentally we want to have a competitive advantage in an industry where it's almost commoditized. It's people will argue that it is commoditized, and I would argue that it's not commoditized, because every consumer, every person, every borrower who's going to buy a house has a story and has a unique circumstance, and it's a first-time purchaser, or they need down payment assistance, or it's their 10th house they've purchased. Everybody's different, everybody's unique, and we as mortgage lenders need to be able to adapt to support that borrower, at the same time have an amazing relationship with that realtor, so the realtor feels supported, communicated with, understanding the transaction, the details, the next steps, and most importantly, believing that we're going to give that buyer, our borrower, an amazing experience. So more to come on that, but I'm going to be translating this academia, the incomprehensible academia, into what does that mean to me?
Yeah, that's good. That's excellent. Very, very good, Andy. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Prop Doctor, full of wisdom, full of understanding, and I like how you mix it into today's hot topic.
You've just heard an audio clip from Lickin' On Lending, and here are the sponsors that make this show possible.
What's your story? We live in the information age. Anything you wish to know is just a Google search away. Information, however, is not knowledge and does not lead to understanding. Stories are what lead us to understanding and make sense of a chaotic world. To many of our customers and partners, the mortgage process is chaos. Agents, FSBOs, titles, closing, credit scores, debt-to-income ratios, appraisals, and inspections. Ever have a confused customer barrage you with questions? Answer a question only to have another and another thrown your way? Your customer is looking at the pieces, not the whole picture. This is your opportunity to tell a story. Storytelling increases information retention and understanding up to 70%, as opposed to a 5 to 10% retention from facts and information not woven together into the form of a story. In the coming messages, I'll be giving you the essential elements you need in order to craft the best stories for your customers and for you. If this sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
I love that segment. Good job. Always love hearing that. And by the way, Scott's going to be our guest on the Hot Topic segment on February 18th next week. Looking forward to having him on. He's talking about educational content and some things that they're doing over at Open Mortgage. Very exciting.